First of all, then, how important is it that we prioritise for our children outside play over screen time?
Very simply, this is now a medical issue. We know, A, that children's screen time has gone up tremendously and that this is displacing a lot of the time they may have been outdoors. Why should they be outdoors? Because they move more when they're outdoors compared to them being indoors. Playing outdoors seems to cause them to burn more calories and move more. There are also other physical and mental benefits. Children need to look into the distance for a certain amount of time every day so that their nerve cells in their eyes develop correctly, and this may help prevent, for example, short-sightedness. There are also other benefits. I could go on and on and on, but my main point is that reducing recreational screen time to moderate levels and increasing outdoor play are not lifestyle options. They are now medical necessities, and that is the point of this campaign, and that's the point of the report I've written for the Association of Play Industries.
And I think the medical side is something that people perhaps won't have thought about previously. But to what extent do schools, for example, contribute to this problem? I think about children I know in my family. When I was there, we spent a lot of time looking at a blackboard, a whiteboard, whatever it might be. Now, a lot of that work is done or set via iPads, even mobile phones at times. How far is that a problem?
It is becoming a problem because a lot of kids are very clever. The school might very well say you have to have an iPad for school or a tablet, and the kids are supposed to be doing homework or studying in the classroom. What are they doing? They're gaming and sending messages to one another. So the good news is a lot of schools are now veering away from that. It looked very tantalizing at first. Now they realize it's a problem. But this campaign is specifically directed towards non-school screen time, non-homework time. It's recreational screen time. And the calculations in this report, based upon the standard statistics, have found that the average child between the ages of 5 and 15 in Britain is spending 5 hours a day on non-homework screen time. This is a 50% increase in only a decade. By the time kids reach 3 years old in this country, 54% of 3 to 4 year olds own their own connected device. So this is a major problem at home. And I can tell you right now, that 5 hours is not spent reading the Bible or Shakespeare. They're having fun on the screens. That's fine up to a point, but the tail's wagging the dog. It's gone too far, and it really is cutting into what would be healthy time for the kids.
And Mark, if I think back to when I was a little bit younger, when I'd come home from school, the first thing I would want to do would be go out and play with my friends. And I would play out until my mom told me to come back in the house. And I don't think, on the whole, that's so common amongst today's children.
No, it's not. And you know, there are a number of reasons for that. But the parents believe, and they have believed around the whole, stranger danger, more traffic on the roads and so forth to prevent some of that. But the other thing is, we are not creating enough appealing areas for people to go and play and mingle. And it isn't just, as I said before, about the physical movement and the activity. It's also about the social interaction. We've got significant mental health issues in children. We've got social and racial issues. And, you know, kids need to get out and just get together more. They need to communicate more. And unfortunately, you know, we're all aware, not only is it in children's bedrooms, it's in the same classroom. They're actually messaging each other rather than actually standing up and talking to one another. We need, as adults, we need as communities to create the environments that children want to go to communicate, to play, to get active. And so, you know, our approach here is, this is a two-pronged thing. One, provide the guidelines so that adults and parents know that actually, you know, let's just spend 2 hours on your screen. It's okay to spend time on the screen, but, you know, 2 hours is probably enough. And then also at the same time, let's create and provide those areas that are attractive so that you do want to go out and play with your friends.
I suppose something that could be quite interesting, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but when you were talking then, I was thinking the adults and the parents we're talking about now probably were used to playing out with their friends, coming home from school, you know, certainly PlayStations and things didn't exist back then. But they may be the homeowners now that when they hear a skate park or a football pitch is going to be developed near their houses, are saying, oh, I don't want the antisocial behaviour around by me. How much is that sort of scaremongering a problem?
Yeah, look, the whole NIMBY, not in my backyard thing, is relevant. And you see that in public consultations. The reality is, and I can't remember who said this, but you know when they used to send people down the mines, they sent a canary down, and while the canary was chirping, it was a healthy place. And there's a theory, and it's not a theory, I think it's a fact, that, you know, if you walk down the street and you can hear children playing and you can hear the sound of children having fun, it's a healthy community. Just try that this afternoon.
And Eric, we talk about screen time, but adults as well get worse for it. I got married recently, and the people who were on their phones throughout the ceremony taking pictures or whatever actually wasn't the younger generation. It was the adults that were messing about trying to take pictures when they perhaps should have been enjoying themselves a little bit more. Could we set a better example, do you think?
Absolutely. Medical studies are looking at precisely what you've said. We know that role modeling is a massive influence on child health. We know that if you as an adult get slaughtered on alcohol this weekend and your kids see that, they are far more likely to be binge drinkers themselves. You exercise more, they're far more likely to exercise. We're looking at screen time. For example, if you're watching more than 4 hours of television today as a British parent, your son is 10 and a half times more likely to do exactly the same thing. So role modeling and negative role modeling are huge influences on how children use their screens. So yes, we as adults need to set reasonable examples on, you know, the overuse and misuse of technology in our homes.
And I guess a question for both of you, it sounds like a very noble idea and the medical reasons are compelling, but how easy is it for, I don't know, governments or bodies or organisations to actually set a limit on how long children should be on their phones for example?
It's very, very simple. It's already been done. So, for example, the US Department of Health for many, many years has had a very simple guideline, a maximum of 2 hours a day of non-homework, sort of recreational screen time. The Australian Department of Health has done the same things, the Canadians and other countries. And it's not a rule. It's the same thing that we have a number for many other areas of health. We just haven't had one for screen time. And so providing a number isn't a rule. It's not a nanny state behavior. It's not prescriptive. It's just a starting point so that parents can get their teeth into this issue. And they can disregard it if they want. That's fine. It's a democracy. But we do need to have a number. At the moment, the number is 5 hours a day. And for older teenagers, it's higher than that. So we do need to have a number.
It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy in some ways, because when I was younger, I can remember when we very first got the internet at home, if someone needed to use the phone, I'd be kicked off the computer because you'd have to dial up the phone line. I wouldn't be able to stay online. Now, we're so connected to the World Wide Web and everything else out there. If I can't go on the computer for a bit, I can go on my phone and access the exact same content. We don't help ourselves, really.
No, we don't. And having four children myself, I certainly realized that one of my teenage sons realized how to switch on the Wi-Fi. I used to have Ethernet, so they couldn't get on whenever they wanted to. And once you have Wi-Fi and you also have 4G, and we'll probably go 5G fairly soon, you're absolutely right. You got multiple devices, multiple access with wider bandwidth, and the supply is unending. It isn't surprising that we end up watching more. Think about it like a fridge. If I put a fridge in your bedroom, you're going to eat more because it's there. And if I said to you, in this compartment we've got sprouts, but in this compartment we've got every flavor of ice cream you could ever imagine, that veg ain't going to leave the fridge, but the ice cream will. And that's what's happened with screens. You put a couple of screens in a kid's bedroom, why are they going to bother reading books when they can look at moving images and play games all the time? And so we do have to limit that entertainment, because if I put on your children's plate chocolate, crisps, and sweets as opposed to broccoli and sprouts, you know they're going to go for the sweets and the ice cream and probably not the sprouts. And we have a responsibility as parents to limit those entertainment choices to shape their behavior in a healthy direction. Because we know that food habits are shaped early, exercise habits are shaped early, and screen media habits are formed early and last a lifetime.
And Mark, just finally, you're from the Association of Play Industries. If people want more information or, you know, to understand your message a little bit clearer, where can they go to find out more?
Simple answer, you can Google us, API Play. But if you go to the website, it's api-play.org. We've got a complete landing site there related to the campaign, which is called A Movement for Movement. You can download the complete report, a synopsis of the report. And there's a lot of other useful information on where to go to good play areas and this sort of thing.